Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And we coming from our basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown. In a while, topping the charts.
Thank you for downloading the podcast, Theanos. Now, here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never gonna get without the sir, cause I'm chilling in the
Welcome back to another episode of the podcast, Theanos. I am Jordan Hall, and I'm joined, as always, by Mr. Eric Wayne. Eric, it's been a while at this point. Do I need to reintroduce myself?
Holy balls, Hall, you're alive! How you doing, friend?
I'm great.
It's been forever. I was a little worried about you. Only the beacon of light that is your Instagram account gave me hope that all was well with you.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's always the fire emoji, but I posted probably more pictures in the 2 weeks than I had in the previous 2 years, which probably isn't mathematically correct. But yeah, we were in Texas. It's as you so eloquently posted on our Twitter account, it's a big state, so it took us a while to get through it.
Right.
But we're back, and here you and I are reunited again.
Yep. Now, is it true what they say that if you don't use it, you lose it? Or
I don't know. We'll find out.
We'll get the mojo back.
I think the listeners will be the judge of that.
I suppose so.
They like us, though. I think they'll be kind. So while we were down in Texas, I was able to cross two more stadiums off the MLB stadium list. I was going to say something fancy, but it's more or less just a list. We saw that we were apparently running in the same circles as the Mariners, because we saw the Rangers play the Mariners in Arlington, and then the Astros play the Mariners in Houston. Houston, absolutely gorgeous park. When you see it on TV, there's kind of that train depot in left that looks super sweet. But what the cameras don't show you is above that, there's like an actual, like, legit train that when they hit home runs, it like goes across the top. And then above that is just this giant like pano window that looks out over downtown Houston. It's really, really cool. The ballpark in Arlington was cool too.
Do you agree with their decision to remove Tall's Hill?
No, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous that it was ever there, but it's so weird and quirky and baseball. Like, why not? I don't know. I was disappointed when that happened. I mean, that was a couple years ago at this point, but I would love to have seen it.
If it was there in an old ballpark, I would never have gotten rid of it, but it seemed like they added it kind of as a gimmick. And that stadium has enough gimmickry with like the cutouts and the notches and stuff, right? I mean, because it doesn't in left field, like they have these little like rectangle-y areas that balls get stuck or not?
Yeah, definitely. I'm assuming those were standing room only places that you could post up or whatever. But
nice.
When we were in Arlington, Matthew McConaughey actually threw out the first pitch, which probably, I mean, other than when I saw the game with you, probably the most famous person I've ever took in a ball game with.
All right.
So anyway, loved all the experiences. Maybe we'll get into some of them a little bit later. Love Texas, specifically Austin, but happy to be back in Michigan, and happy for the temperatures to be back under 95, because it was hot as balls when we were in Texas. We went to the Stockyards, which is where Johnny Cain rode the bull Patron, which I had to ride also. But anyway,
you're on a first name basis with the bulls.
not the Chicago one, the ones that stand there and let you hop on board.
I understand.
But saw 98 degrees on the Weather Channel app, which is hashtag warm. But anyway, brings us to this week's leadoff question. Which MLB ballpark or other sporting venue do you specifically most want to get to?
Okay, so You went to Dallas, but you went to Arlington, the ballpark at Arlington, or whatever the heck they call it now.
You didn't go to
Jerry Jones Land, though. No,
we
did.
We did that also, which was insane.
Yeah, tell me about that. I mean, is it?
It was. I mean, you look at that. You look at it, and you're like, that is absurdly too large, and it absolutely is. But it doesn't necessarily. When you're in there, you're like, this is incredible. Not like this is too gargantuan. We actually took the tour, which was awesome because they essentially just roped off the path and just let you go at your own pace. We threw the football around the field for a while.
No kidding.
I slam dunked the football over the uprights, took a picture on the star. I mean, it was,
is the screen crazy?
I think they said it's like four stories high. Is absolutely unreal. It's just so big. And it's like, you know, better picture than my TV at home. It's nuts. But yeah, that is a cool one.
I would have had that on my list as just something to see as a spectacle. But as far as MLB stadiums, I got to go to Wrigley a couple years ago, so that one's kind of crossed off the list. I would like to go to Fenway, not because I'm even a Red Sox lover, but just because of the history of what it is and just to get a sense of when you watch a game there, what it is I'm seeing and kind of get a sense of scale and so forth. So yeah. Fenway for sure. St. James, where Newcastle United play.
Of course.
Just for – that'd be interesting. Or any of the big European soccer stadiums would be a trip to go see, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And this one is probably going to stun you. But I have lived in Michigan my entire life, and I have never set foot in Michigan Stadium.
As a Michigan fan, I'm contractually obligated to say, oh, yeah, it's awesome. It kind of
I've heard it's just kind of a big bowl.
Yes, you walk in specifically kind of close to kickoff, and you're like, holy crap, that is a wall of people.
Right.
And it goes up as high as you can possibly see, but it's not particularly loud. It's definitely cramped. Like, you will be real, real tight with your neighbor by the time you're done.
Because it's just a bleacher seat, right?
Mm.
Yeah. You've sat next to me. I'm a broad-shouldered man. Need some room.
Yeah, exactly. You would not enjoy room at the big house. But
so
you know,
cuddle up some sweaty guy. Great.
What you should do is bring your wife and put her on one side and children on the other, so you're hemmed in.
So the trick is to bring a skinny friend.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. So
I chose obviously Old Trafford. I'm a huge Man United fan. That would be the ultimate. And I have some of the other cathedrals of soccer also. San Siro, the Camp Nou, Bernabeu, and the Maracanã, in where the World Cup final was in Brazil. There's all kinds of history in that stadium. It sounds like it'd be cool. As far as baseball goes, obviously Fenway. I almost want to not want to go to Fenway just because of how cliche it is, but I still do. So,
yep.
And ideally, I would like to see the Red Sox lose when I go there, just because then the Red Sox will have lost. Dodgers
see their fans all miserable and kind of whiny.
Yeah,
that's great.
Dodger Stadium, I don't necessarily know why. I've always been kind of fascinated with Dodger Stadium. I hear it's a nightmare to get to, but still, it looks really sweet. And I think Petco.
That's the second oldest in the in major leagues, right?
Yeah, I think so. Probably after Fenway and Wrigley.
Third oldest, I guess. Yeah,
somewhere in there. And then Petco. The depot in left field looks like something I'd take a lot of pictures of.
Yes.
On Twitter, I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at ComericEric, and the show is at Podcastianos. By the way, the Podcastianos account was approved for the extra characters, so it's just going to be emojis on emojis from here on out, obviously.
Where's my extra characters?
You are. It's. I actually don't have it either. It's because collectively we're more important than either of us individually.
Naturally, like I'm sure that's
like,
what it is.
It's like a team. On Instagram, the aforementioned Fire Instagram account, I am at Jordinho4, and I'll spell that for all you Americans. Jordinho, and then the number 4, facebook.com/podcastianos. And we love it if you take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on. And I actually have up right now the review, the reviews that we've gotten since the last time we read them out. So yeah, if you'd like your review to be read, leave us a review on iTunes. That's the best way, and we'll get to it. The first one comes in from Matt in the Mitten. The title is it the most intelligent podcast? ... No. The body says,
what?
But are Jordan and Eric two guys you'd want to have a beer with and talk baseball with? Absolutely. To be fair, I'd probably take that over being intelligent.
Yeah.
Seems more important. Regardless of how frustratingly inconsistent Matt Boyd is or how mad you are that Victor Martinez still has over a year left on his contract, the show will make you feel better about being a Tigers fan. Thanks, Matt and the Mitten. We are glad that you enjoy it. John, it's F-E-J-N. I'm going to say it's like fine, you know, kind of
it's
like
it's
Eastern
fine.
European.
It's John Fine.
Yes,
go ahead.
He also signs it at the bottom, which I now see. He says, go Tigers. This is the Lynn Hennings of podcasts. So
John contacted me and wanted me to be sure that we got to his review.
We got it, John. We got it.
Yeah. I actually know John from previously, so we had a good time catching up. It was great.
That's so nice.
It is.
ALR33 says great, and then super fire emoji power rankings. I appreciate the shout out there. Arc Ship C, this is the last one. 2008 is going to be a long season.
2018 even will be long.
Yes, that too. This ... I cut off, so I don't know what that says. This is a great podcast. We'll just fill in that blank.
Hey,
you know the two friends you have who are sort of funny and like to talk about baseball in parentheses or soccer for some reason. What? You don't have friends like that? Well, neither do I. So these two will have to do. Come for good Tigers banter, stay for the power rankings and what I saw on the side of the road while running. So thank you, Arkship. We appreciate the nice words.
If you need a friend, like you're making up girlfriends that live in Canada, we'll be them. That's fine. You can just make us up. Yeah, I know these two guys. I hear from them every week. That's fine.
Except for when one of them's in Texas.
Yeah, really.
Then the
Is now an appropriate time to give some love to Hookslide and Rob?
Yes, that would be a great time.
Yeah. So, Hook and Rob have been producing the Voice of the Turtle podcast for a long time, which kind of came out of Bless You Boys. And evidently they wrapped it up their last episode. So much respect to those guys. And we've swapped back and forth and shared thoughts and airtime, if you can call it that. A lot of respect and admiration for those guys. So
definitely always enjoyed talking to or hung out with Hookslide once. They are far smarter than we are. I think that's just a general rule.
This does mean that we won the fight, though.
That's very true. And we'll actually get to that in the Twitter questions here shortly.
Oh, okay.
As always.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the podcast, Giannos.
So since the last time we spoke, a lot has happened with the Tigers.
A lot.
And by a lot, I mean, of course, we've lost a lot of baseball games. That's pretty much the sum total of a lot. Has it sunk into you that we were the worst team in all of Major League Baseball?
Even just hearing you say that just pains me. We were the worst team in baseball. No other team.
The Phillies, that team we all think of as just straight garbage, they're better than us.
I confess, I did not see this coming, and we'll maybe get to that. But we were 64-98. We lost 98 games. And honestly, I didn't feel like we were the worst team in baseball until we were. I think we clinched like the worst record like 2 days before the end. Mm-hmm. But like at the beginning of the year, and with the names and the players that we had, it didn't feel like we should be the worst team.
No, I felt like coming in, it was going to be a tall order to seriously contend. But there's a big difference between falling short of contending and what happened. And to be fair, I feel like the record lies a little bit. Down the stretch in September, you know, things got skewed a little bit. Nobody was in the lineup. We played a bunch of kids. Earlier in the season, it felt like we could win just about any game. We kind of just didn't. Like, there was no reason that we shouldn't. We just didn't. But yeah, like you said, you come into a season with Mickey, JD, Upton, Victor, you know, Verlander, some of the guys that we had on this roster. 98 losses was not in the range of outcomes I had set for this team.
We were 6 wins to 24 losses after September 1.
It's not ideal.
6-24. And one of those was Boyd's game. And so the pitching all through the month of September was just trash. We had guys hurt, and we're just running scrub after scrub out there. No offense to
all of these scrubs.
No offense, scrubs, but we're running scrubs out there, and it was not pretty.
Speaking of down the stretch,
when Daniel Stumpf is like your stud, you know, oh yeah, Stumpf, he's our stud. That's not good.
No. He's going to be a piece next year, but he is not in the grand scheme of relievers. He's not maybe upper tier. How about that?
Oh, yeah.
So let's talk about down the stretch, because we obviously didn't make a podcast during it. Who impressed you? What did you learn down the stretch?
Who impressed? Castellanos?
Yeah, he inevitably will make me predict some MVP votes for him again next year.
Sucker you right back in, won't he?
Right back in.
And I think we learned it's within the realm of possibility that he's going to be playing some right field. And he can play you a below average but not incredibly embarrassing right field.
Yeah, below average but not quite as below average as he was at third.
Right. I think we save ourselves some indignity there.
Putting candy
at third.
He can play. I don't know if you want to get into him right now, but that dude can play. Eight walks in 71 at bats. The approach was impressive. I looked up 7 extra base hits in September on a team that wasn't hitting, wasn't turning the lineup over very often. Right. That's you can live with that.
Guess what, Candy? You're going to get to see a lot of playing time, because we are going to stink next year. So if you like to be in the starting lineup, this is the team for you.
I was impressed by Alex Presley. I mean, we know I thought I knew exactly what Alex Presley was as a career fourth or fifth outfielder, but he definitely played himself into at least a roster
contract?
Spot. Probably a spot in the opening day outfield, which did
for
not see
us,
that one
maybe.
Coming. Oh,
yeah,
clearly.
For us, maybe. Not any good teams.
No, definitely. But to be fair, even if we were a halfway decent team, a left-handed bat like that who can play all three outfield positions, that's a useful piece.
Yep.
Some things that I learned, I don't know that this qualifies as learned, but Jacoby Jones struck out 26 times in September. That's a lot. And he didn't even play every day in September. Where are we at with Jacoby? I feel like we're kind of wrapping it up at this point. Going into 2018.
I was so hopeful for Jacoby. And he's still like more toolsy than some of the other guys, but he's not good. He's bad. He hit like a .170 or something like that. It was not good.
No. And that's the thing, is he plays such as Brad would say, game-changing defense. You want to find a way to have that out there, but
his sample size isn't incredibly small anymore. Like, he's gotten some at-bats, and he just has not been able to put it together. Yeah. Although I think it was fascinating that he gets that home run opening day, and we're all charged up about him. And then he doesn't hit another one until, like, late September or whatever.
Yeah, I started spelling Jacoby with the heart eye emoji for the O. That was where I was at for that.
Might have been a misstep, a little premature on that one with art emoji.
I thought Dixon got a little exposed. I still think Dixon is a good player, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him in more of a full-time role next year. But maybe I had a little bit higher expectations for him than what he actually is capable of.
Somebody whose baseball opinions I know and trust said Iglesias, if they can't move him, they would consider non-tendering him.
I'd be fine with that.
And at first I was like, that doesn't seem possible or smart at all. But the more I thought about it with this team, I don't know. Maybe you'd save that I think it's going to be like $6 million.
Yeah, I think 5.9 was what Baseball Reference estimated as his arbitration number.
I said like $6 million.
Yeah,
close.
You're real close. I was just trying to give color to your statement.
just busted your balls. Yeah, so maybe he's a non-tender guy.
See here,
but I think fans would be pretty pissy.
I think some fans would be. I think some fans would be happy to see him go. And obviously those are probably the ones that we see on Twitter in the think tank, not the ones that
the numbers guys.
Yeah, not the ones that are actually, you know, not that they're not buying tickets and whatnot, but I don't think that that's probably the general consensus.
Because Dixon can do a lot of what he does.
Definitely. And to be fair, when we're good again, Iglesias is not going to be with the team. Yeah. Dixon probably won't be either. But if he actually turns into something, then there's a very good chance he could be. And we're never going to know unless he finally gets some regular run.
So does Iggy have any trade value?
I think if Iggy had any value, he would be gone. Like any. You know, even the guy we got for Upton, I think if we could have gotten something like that, he'd be gone, and he's still here.
Wow.
I mean, that's just my personal opinion. Clearly don't have any sources. Hashtag sources.
Well, as bad as we were, he could hardly get out of that ninth spot in the order. I mean, it was pretty much Brad's opinion that he couldn't hit.
Yeah. I think what I would miss most is probably his hashtag fire Instagram account.
Yeah. And over the shoulder catches. I'd pay him $6 million just to run straight towards your outfielder and then stab your glove in the air and catch the ball.
You know who could have used that play tonight? Washington Nationals.
I didn't see that, but anyway, they needed one of those, huh?
They needed one of those. Last thing I have written down that I learned down the stretch is a lot of the guy, this is going to be word for word out of the notes. A lot of the guys at Toledo that nobody was wondering whether they were good enough are in fact good enough.
I'm sorry. So the guys from Toledo who you're wondering if they're good enough, you're pretty sure they aren't.
They are not. All of them.
Yeah. I'm tracking with you there.
They all, yep. As you said, they're all bums or scrubs. I think scrubs was your word.
I think I said scrubs. Yeah. So yeah, we had Miggy and the Mud Hens. We might see some more of that.
Until we didn't have Miggy, and then we just had the Mud Hens. All right, let's move.
It's going to be Casty and the kids.
There you go. Already got the hashtag. All right, let's move on to another hashtag, 9 for Romine. It was a big night for me. It was a big night for Andrew, and it seemed like a pretty big night for my boy Johnny Kane. Sideshow or cool?
Both. Both. Sideshows are entertainment, right? Like sideshow, you go to a circus and there's a sideshow. Hey, people come for that. Watch the sideshow. I thought it was entertaining. And at this stage in the year, why the heck not? Why wouldn't you do it? We have nothing to lose. The Twins had clinched their spot. We're not, you know, raining on their party or doing anything funny business. Why not run them out there?
I think it kind of goes back to like the very intent of sport, which is something to help us forget about our dull lives for 3 hours every night or, you know, once a week, depending on whatever sport you're looking at. We had a very dull season to not really distract us from our dull lives this year. That was something that I thought was cool.
Plus, it was one of our 6 September wins. We won the game. Yes. We won the game. Now, I think probably Osmus and all the other players were probably trying a little extra hard to do it because of the attention and the gimmickry. Fine, but they won.
Yeah. All of the you're making a mockery of the game stuff went right out the window when we actually won the game.
Our crap lineups the week before were making a mockery of the game.
And every bullpen pitcher that we had run out in the previous 2 weeks, other than Blaine, of course.
Of course.
I tweeted to Blaine's wife, Nikki, who is on Twitter quite frequently, to get the lowdown on Andrew's game calling for us, but she never got back to me, so that's a little disappointing. Seemed like he was putting down a lot of ones for Blaine, which I'd like to see him mix in a few more twos.
And I don't think this was a compliment, but I forget who said it. One of the announcers was like, yeah, Blaine is probably the pitcher who's going to be the easiest to catch. And I thought, what's that supposed to mean? I don't think that's exactly a compliment. Well, maybe it is. I don't know.
I think,
but, you know, not a lot of balls with action.
Yeah, Blaine is steadier and hits spots more than most guys.
All right,
guys.
We'll go with that.
There's not necessarily a ton of, like, late action. I don't know. Everything's in front of you with Blaine, whereas, you know, if Shane's coming in, it could be anywhere.
Okay, we'll go with that.
That's clearly the stance that I would take on Blaine Hardy.
Of course.
So let's get into what Mike Berardino from the Berardino. He's not Brazilian. It's probably Dino. From the Pioneer Press. He's a beat reporter for the Twins. This was the series of tweets when Romine faced Miguel Sano.
Jeez.
This is unfortunate. Sano needs to see real pitching, not a Detroit freak show. Send. And then if Romine was only going to face one batter, really not cool that it was Sano who is desperately trying to prepare for Chapman and friends. It is such a dick move that they didn't prepare a division rival for a playoff game. What was Ausmus thinking?
Yeah. We owe you nothing. You know what we owe you? Absolutely nothing. Probably we do whatever the heck we want.
Poop on the pitcher's mound.
Yeah. We got Sano out. He saw a pitch. You know what he did with the pitch? He rolled it over to third base.
That's right.
Eat poop, Mike Bernardino. Nobody cares about your opinions.
Yes. Well, clearly some people do. Just not on this side of Lake Michigan.
Well, I don't. I'm the only person who matters. Yeah, I was a little pissy about all the poo-pooers. They're like, oh, yeah, it's not, you know, it's just a gimmick. Heck yes, it's a gimmick. Sports are supposed to be fun. Let's have fun.
Yeah.
I want to see Holiday playing second base. Is that too much to ask? That's what I want. Move them all around.
I mean, ideally, I'd see some sort of squirrel in center. That doesn't feel unreasonable.
Unleash a cage of rodents in the outfield. I don't care. We suck. We lost 98 games. Give me something. It's fine. Like in the last game, Ausmus let Kinsler manage. Kinsler managed the last game. Here, Ian, you decide.
If we didn't see those two in the same dugout all season long, would I be able to convince you that those are two different people? Personality-wise, Kinsler and Ausmus may be the exact same person.
Kind of aloof and a little grumpy.
Yeah, there you go. I can definitely see Ian getting into managing, which I think he would be decent at it.
He doesn't his temperament, I don't think he could put up with BS and little questions for a whole season. He'd eventually lose it.
That's probably true.
And he'd strangle somebody.
I'd imagine he's going to try at some point, so...
Yeah,
maybe get DK as his bench manager. They can bad cop, or call really,
each other.
Really good cop, yeah.
Good cop, I like it.
There we go. Maybe that's the next combination. Speaking of, let's talk about how we no longer have a manager. Brad Ausmus, the much maligned Brad Ausmus. His contract was not renewed. When you look back on the tenure, it was what, 4 years? 4 years, is that right?
4 years.
Mm-hmm. What kind of legacy has he laid down in the Motor City?
I only know it's 4 years because that's the same amount of time that the woman in the Liberty Mutual commercial talks about her car, Brad. You've been together 4 years. It's the same time. How can I live without Brad? It amazes me how the commercial, I mean, it was prophetic, wasn't it?
I feel like we should just end it here. It can't get better than that.
What was the question? I had to get my Liberty Mutual
Legacy. What are you going to remember?
I'm going to remember Brad as a guy who was initially over his head with a good team. And I will remember him for being a very by-the-book, conventional wisdom old manager in a young man's body.
Yes.
I think the angst and anger we had, the fan base had towards Brad, is because our expectation of him did not line up with what we ultimately got.
Exactly.
We
right.
expected an innovating, smart, sabermetric, cutting edge, manager, and we got handsome, friendly Jim Leland.
Yeah, we got a proper baseball man. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah, bullpen usage, lineup construct, any kind of tactical things was right out of the traditions of baseball managing.
Yeah, and I think that's that. Think that, like you said, that was the biggest problem. If we had been sold that we were just going to have somebody like that, I think we would have gotten around that. And if you're going to do that, they probably should have went with Gardenhire at the time. But that's neither here nor there.
I think he got better over time. I think he got a better as a manager. But at the time, it was not the right hire.
No, definitely.
Those criticisms, in retrospect, were right.
Yeah, I think the biggest takeaway from his tenure was when we got swept three straight by Baltimore with a rotation that now features four Cy Young Award winners and an ERA champ. I mean, that was the year to do something. And
absolutely.
And it just didn't happen. He had a lot of talent. And I genuinely don't necessarily think that he held the team back or really influenced it going in a positive direction. He just seems like a perfectly neutral influence on the team and the club over 4 years, which that's not necessarily what you want to accomplish.
So what do you make of the reports that the Mets have some interest in him?
I think his not the perceived apathy, but the way that he he comes across might be very difficult to sell to a New York fan base. You know, I feel like a lot of our complaints were we want more from him, and he kind of never, as far as emotion, as you know,
fire
up the backside. I don't know that that's going to play super well in New York. I've never lived, you know, obviously in New York. I don't know exactly kind of, but that's kind of my impression. As far as a team, you know, a baseball fit goes, I mean, he'll fit there as well as anywhere else, I guess. I mean, he'll probably ruin less arms there than Terry Collins did.
Okay, there you go. Thoughts on a next manager? Who, I don't know if there's particular names that you are attracted to or just conceptually, what are you looking for?
There's a couple qualities I'm looking forward to for it. And first of all is a teacher. This is somebody who probably the next 2 years is not going to do a lot of winning, but what they need to be doing is a lot of developing. And obviously, you know, a manager isn't necessarily the chief, you know, distributor of wealth. You have your various positional coaches, but it has to be somebody that's going to guide some of these young guys through. I mean, Candelario's coming through, Lugo, and then some of the young arms. These are guys that are going to need some nurturing. I feel like you're going to need somebody who's patient. Obviously not patient in that losing is okay, but patient in that losing is okay if with it comes progression. Obviously Ozzy's been one of the zingy names that has been thrown out there. That's not something that he's going to be willing to do, obviously.
No, he doesn't strike me as having an abundance of patience. But yeah, you need somebody with a high pain tolerance for sure.
Yes.
And to me, this is the perfect time to hire someone innovative.
Yes.
And I don't know who the particular name is. I know, you know, the news out of the Tigers front office is they don't want to repeat the mistakes of the past, and they want to hire someone who's got, you know, a bank of experience. But I really don't care so much about that because this team is going to stink for a while. I'd love to see somebody who is going to manage with a more sabermetric bent, who's going to try things, who is going to push the envelope of what's possible in managing, because you can't screw it up too much.
That's true.
Right. And if at the same time you can have a somewhat fun, playful, whimsical personality to get through the hard times and let your players thrive and grow, that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, I have three names on my list. Two of them, I got to be honest, I don't necessarily know a ton about. I just know that they are managing under the two best managers in baseball, or they're bench coaching, or you know, whatever they're doing. Dave Martinez under Madden and Sandy Alomar under Francona. mean, there's only so much you can discern from how somebody coaches first base or coaches bench. Like, right. You don't know their ideology until you get them in and interview them.
Right. You talk to them.
But the one guy – oh, go ahead.
What do you make of the Spanish language skills, the Latin culture? Do you feel like that's a priority?
I definitely do, and not just with us. I mean, look at the demographics in baseball. I don't necessarily care if you're fluent, but you need to – I mean, if I were to get into coaching or managing for baseball, that would be something that I would at least look into and try and get familiarize myself. Just anything you can do to get on a player's level. Specifically, some of these guys are 30 years older than the players. There has to be some sort of bridge there. And at least – coming across like you're making an effort, I think would go a long way. But the one guy that I'm super into, I think probably be my first choice, Manny Acta. He's probably fluent in Spanish. He was with the Indians and in the Nationals. He didn't have a great amount of success, but if you hear him talk on Baseball Tonight, obviously that's more past tense at this point. He is brilliant. I think that he's sabermetrically inclined. He has a little bit of managerial experience, and it wasn't with particularly great teams. And I think, look at where they're at now. Those are two of the better franchises in baseball. I mean, you can make all the links you want. I choose to tie them to him. But I think, Manny Acta is if I were choosing, that's who I would take, obviously.
He was hasn't a name, asked me yet. He was a name when we were looking at Osmus. I don't know what he's done in the – interim.
I want to say that was between his two stints, though that could be that could be incorrect. I feel like he was directly before Dusty in Washington, though once again, that could be incorrect.
How do you feel about any of the in-house candidates? This would be Omar Vizquel, Legendary Lloyd, Gene Lamont. I know they have all been non-renewed. But they were interviewed. Would you consider any of these guys?
My initial reaction would be just no. I mean, I feel like we just need a clean break at this point.
I think you're right.
I don't necessarily have anything against any of them. But unless it's Omar, we're definitely not going to get any new ideas. And even with Omar, I don't know exactly. He's been there for a while at this point. You'd assume any gems of wisdom he probably would have passed along to Osmus at this point.
Yeah, I don't know what you'd get with Omar. I mean, I think you get that cultural sensitivity. You get some of the experience of playing and stuff. I don't know what you get as far as tactical thoughts. I don't know what you get as far as philosophy of managing, I'll call it. I just don't know. He's been a first base coach.
Yeah, exactly. I do think there is one in-house candidate that nobody's really mentioned yet. He has some experience now, and he's down there in Connecticut. I wouldn't be surprised if G Money gets an interview.
Stop it. G Money. You might as well get Donnie up.
Now we're talking.
This is an aside, but Dave Clark has been a terrific third base coach. Nobody talks about it. For all the caterwauling about Brookins at third, Dave Clark has been excellent coaching third base. I would have him back in a heartbeat.
And I think
to coach third base.
You know how you know he's done well at third base? Is because you haven't noticed that he's coaching third base.
Yeah, you haven't noticed him, and there's not people bitching. And even if he gets a guy thrown out, it was understandable. It was rational, and it happened occasionally, but he was a good third base coach.
Yeah, definitely. And it will be, I feel like it's so hard to look at 2018 and certainly beyond without having the framework of who is in charge. Obviously I would assume that we will probably do another episode once the manager's named. It'll probably be 2 days from now, but obviously they're gonna wait till the World Series is over, it's just such a huge thing that they need to get taken care of, so that we can have our direction. I mean, we're a rudderless ship? Is that yeah. You're more of a boatsman than I am. Is that true?
Yes, I'm quite the mariner. I yacht on my skiff on weekends with my yacht friends in my deck shoes.
Do your power rankings.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Power rankings. Very applicable power rankings for you, Hall. Hmm. So I don't know if you heard this, but like a week ago, the famed game show host of Let's Make a Deal, Monty Hall, passed away. And that got me thinking, who are the greatest Halls? If you had a Hall of Fame, who would appear in the Hall of Fame? So I have for you people with the last – with the surname Hall.
I can't wait.
Are you ready for this? This is your people. This is your lineage.
Literal relations, yep.
Here we go. Coming in at number 7 in the Hall is Michael C. Hall. He's the American actor who played Dexter, and he is a Golden Globe winner. Huh. It's a good start, right?
Sure. That's definitely a name I've heard before.
I don't like to watch Dexter because it seems like bloody. All the promotions have – I don't want to see blood on my TV. Okay.
Nobody does.
Number 6 is Lyman Hall. Lyman Hall was a doctor around the American Revolution. He was the governor of Georgia and a signer of the Declaration of Independence. He has a county in Georgia named after him, and he helped charter the University of Georgia.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So coming in right above the signer of the Declaration is Jordan Hall.
Woo!
He's good at seeing things alongside the road, and is a good runner and is a good traveler, sees interesting things, rides bulls, but he's kind of intolerant of people resting in his front yard.
That is probably my primary drawback. Yeah.
Yeah. She's got a resting spot. Let her be.
Yeah. So okay. So suck it, signer of the Declaration of Independence and actor from Dexter.
Yeah.
That's kind of where
Unfortunately,
I'm at.
Unfortunately, here are the people who are better than you. Hmm. Okay.
There are people better than me.
Just a couple. Four to be exact. Anthony Michael Hall. He was a coming-of-age movie actor with John Hughes or whatever. He appeared in 16 Candles, The Breakfast Club, and Weird Science and movies like that.
So
he was an
old.
80s actor.
So old.
People know this stuff. You can watch old movies. Okay.
You can.
Coming in at,
you don't have to.
Coming in at number 3 is Monty Hall, who died a couple weeks ago.
R.I.P.
He hosted Let's Make a Deal. Fascinating. I think the most fascinating thing about Monty Hall is that he has his name associated with the Monty Hall problem, which is this mathematical paradox based off his show. Are you familiar with this?
Not in the least.
Okay. Let me give you a quick summary because I find this fascinating and these are my power rankings. Okay. So you have 3 doors. Door 1, door 2, door 3. 2 of the doors have goats, and one of them has a brand new car. Do you understand the setup?
Yeah.
If I told you, you pick a door, and you said door number 1. They're equal. They're mixed up behind the doors. And I say, okay, I'm going to open door number three. And behind door number three, there is a goat. Now, originally you had a 1 out of 3 chance to select the car, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I've showed you, do you want to switch your choice? What's your answer?
No, let it ride.
That's most people's thought is 1 out of 3 chance. What difference does it make? I'll just stick with number one. The probabilities are you should switch to door number two. You'll have a higher chance of getting the car. Did I just blow your mind?
It doesn't feel mathematically like provable because it's still a 50% chance that the one that I have has it.
No, your chances go down by sticking with your original door. Your probability of getting the car goes up if you switch to door number two.
I will admit that I am not a mathematician, but that sounds like nonsense.
It does sound like nonsense.
Because
that's what makes
nonsense.
It interesting, but it is true. You're better to switch to door number two. You have a better chance of winning the car.
Now, do you want the car or the goat? Goats are useful animals.
I guess set up on the premise that you want the car. Anyway, Monty Hall problem. I think it's fascinating, but I am a huge dork.
Yes.
Look it up on Wikipedia. It'll blow your mind.
I will not. All right. It's a good thought, though.
Number two on the Hall power rankings is Daryl. Daryl. Now, that might not mean anything to you.
It's not.
But if I said Hall and Oates, would that mean something to you?
It would mean that you're old.
You're noticing a trend here. It's not going to get any better either. Okay. Yeah, Hall & Oates, that's Daryl Hall. Such hits as Maneater, Out of Touch, and Private Eyes. Hall & Oates is Daryl Hall.
So if all
carrying out the banner, the coat of arms for the Hall family.
If all of the famous Halls were from the 70s and the 80s, and I'm the only one that's still around, where did all my kin go? This is starting to become problematic, I think.
Your people have peaked. You've peaked too soon.
I think they're currently peaking. Let's be honest.
That's true. Number one, you got to guess?
Not even a little bit.
It's not. What's the cornerback for the Redskins? DeMarcus. No, Dan. It doesn't matter.
D'Angelo.
The number. D'Angelo. It's not him.
Okay. Good.
Number one Hall of all time is Arsenio Hall. You're probably too young to understand the impact that Arsenio Hall made in the entertainment landscape. He came, his show is completely different. And like Bill Clinton came on his show and played the saxophone. It was a great marker in American history. Arsenio, he's number one.
That's a good one.
That was his thing.
Oh, okay. Gosh, I thought that was just your thing.
No, I'm just, that was the dog pound. Gosh, I'm old. Look it up in YouTube. Okay, ready for the bottom three?
Can't wait.
All right. Number third from the worst is Anthony Hall, also called the Lover's Lane Murderer.
Mm.
He murdered 2 teen girls in England.
Sounds like a real dick.
Number two is Edwin R. Hall. He is also a murderer. He killed Kelsey Smith. And for that, we have the Kelsey Smith Act, which allows the government to legally ping a cell phone in case they think somebody's in danger.
So that's kind of a silver lining situation.
I suppose. The number one worst haul. It's not you. Do you have a family member you want to try to guess? Or?
No. I love all my family members.
Oh, they're all great. The number one worst haul is Archibald Hall. Also known as the Killer Butler or the Monster Butler. This was a Scottish serial killer who killed 5 people. He's the worst Hall. Don't kill people. Be nice to your fellow man, especially if your last name's Hall. That's Power Rankings.
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
Gripping stuff.
It's education. I'm dropping truth nuggets on you, and I don't feel like you're appreciating it.
It's just because I have so much family history knowledge that I was mostly aware of all of my cousins and whatnot on this list.
You're still thinking about wanting a goat. That's what I think
is. So before we get into things that I saw on the side of the road while running, I do want to recap the season preview show. We always do hot takes, and we had Guido Knudsen on, former Tigers pitcher. And so we did over-unders, where we came up with over-unders for many of the various Tigers players. And then we each gave like three or four hot takes that are bold predictions, I guess. None of them were particularly good. Guido actually won. He had 11 correct out of, just looking at my sheet, I'm going to say 20. That seems like a pretty fair guess. You narrowly edged me by a score of 10-8.
I'm flexing. Flex.
My most impressive call was that I guessed that there would be more than 4.5 players to start in center field this season for the Tigers. There was.
Yeah.
We all guessed that Joe Jimenez would debut before June 1st. And that
when
seems,
did he debut?
It was in April at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Very early. Matt Boyd topped 100.5 Ks. We also all had that. Now, are you ready to get to the fire bold predictions?
Yeah. Okay.
So these are yours. You said Jacoby Jones would play in 100 games. He played in 56.
Boy, that was really dumb.
You said Anibal would throw a complete game with two hits or less. He failed to complete the seventh inning in any game this year. However, he did throw six innings of two-hit ball.
Okay.
So that's not terrible.
It's kind of.
JD switches to Julio, which, to be fair, there's still time to play on that one.
Yeah, could happen yet.
Oh,
yeah,
I forgot to read Guido's. Guido said three Tiger starters with at least 15 wins.
No.
There were two with 10.
Wow.
Tyler Collins as our everyday center fielder, not so much. Top five bullpen, he didn't specify in baseball or in the AL. We were actually the worst bullpen in baseball by ERA by almost a full run.
Are you serious?
I am. It was like 0.9 something. And he predicted that Fulmer would wear a plumber's outfit to the field at least once. And that's not something I was able to fact check. So I'll give him credit. Maybe it happened.
Give him that one, yeah.
All right. So here are mine. I had five. I don't know where you guys were slacking off. I said 16 wins and a no-hitter for Daniel Norris. He won five.
Wow.
And to my knowledge, no hitters. No. Castellanos would finish seventh in AL MVP voting or higher. Hasn't happened yet, so jury's
still
out. Hasn't
happened yet.
He had a hot September.
I don't think it's going to happen. He did have a hot September.
Ghost with more appearances on the mound than Romine. That didn't happen.
And Romine got one.
I'll tell you what. If you ask Rod, he should have. Rod would have had Ghost on the mound almost instantly.
What were we thinking? Ugh. Although Ghost got hurt, I think.
Yeah, that's the only reason he didn't.
Right.
I had Shane Green leads the team in saves, which was close, 13-9, which I feel like that was kind of a decent call because he was third on the depth chart at that point. Justin Wilson obviously leading the team. And I got one right this year. I predicted a brawl or series of incidents, which I think the brawl was so big that it almost qualifies as both a brawl and a series of incidents.
Yep. What team was that with? I'm forgetting now.
The Yanks. Gary Sanchez.
That's right. That's right. Because
instantly you are angry.
Austin Romine was in on the scrap, and there was drama with Victor, you know, apologizing or negotiating with the enemy or something like that. Oh, yeah, the Yankees, I remember.
Yeah.
That counts. You got one.
Got one. So I'm pretty sure that's the first one that any of us have gotten over the 2 years of this show.
We didn't have a lot of Mikey Matuk breakout year hot takes.
No, we should have. What were we thinking?
Blew that one.
All right. So let's get into things I saw on the side of the road while running. Like we said, we were in Texas for about 2 weeks. We hit Dallas. Fort Worth, Houston, San Antonio, Austin. And while we were down there, it was hot as balls, like, the entire time. So I didn't do any running.
And balls are known for their heat. That is hot.
They certainly are. So while I didn't see anything on the side of the road while I was running, we walked everywhere we went. So I saw a ton of stuff on the side of the road while we walked. So I've compiled an exhaustive list for you. Are you ready?
I'm strapped in.
On the San Antonio Riverwalk, I saw the largest snake that I have ever seen that wasn't behind glass. Ooh. It was kind of like laying on the side of the river bank.
Yep. I can imagine that.
And then it went in the river and somehow became even more terrifying because I'm like, that snake can swim.
Did you scream like a girl?
I didn't. No, I was actually watching it while we ate breakfast. So I don't know if that technically qualifies as while we were walking, but
it was enough.
Neither here nor
Nobody's
there.
Nobody's fact-checking this. It's fine.
It'd be a sad, sad life. So next one, on the streets of Austin, they were littered. I don't know if you've experienced this. We actually experienced this in Seattle last year when we were out there. But they were littered with guys in red shirts canvassing for Save the Children. It's like a charity that one would assume is designed to save children.
Save children, yeah.
You know, it's a great cause, and you know, I'm all for helping where I can, but they are just absolutely impossible to get around when you are walking. So we listened to this one dude's spiel for probably a good 5 minutes because, you know, I'm not the type to be openly rude. Finally, we were able to shake him. We walked to the next traffic light, like the equivalent of a block, and the next crew starts in. And we tell them, you know, look, you can see the guy that just had our ear for 5 minutes. Like, we're well aware. And they just started in again. Like, they said, oh, well, you're warmed up then. And then continued to give us the hard sell. Like,
oh, jeez.
I appreciate your passion. And in saving children, obviously, something that's very, very important. But, man, it was it made me uncomfortable. And I know that tactic would work on some people. Just not enough.
But if I want to do some charitable giving, I'm not going to do it because some buffoon is giving me the hard sell on a street corner.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, do your work of researching where you want to give and give to it, and you don't have to deal with that shenanigans.
Well, we did. We got to the point where we actually crossed the road and went up the other side because there weren't any red shirts over there. Also in Austin, there were several telephone poles that there was an orca and a dolphin stuffed animal that had been like cut in half and stapled onto both sides of the pole, so it looked like the dolphin and the orca were swimming through the pole. It was kind of cool. I mean, you know my affinity for ocean life. Very artsy city, Austin, definitely.
Yeah, it's the Ann Arbor of the South, I suppose.
That's actually what they call themselves.
Yep.
saw a missing, you know, reward, like lost dog poster for a dog named Papito that featured what I can only kind of describe as like a glamour shot of the dog. It was like, I kid you not, it was like an
soft lighting,
an over the shoulder look for the dog. Like the dog was looking over. I don't know how they got it to stay in that pose. But it was, you know, to the best of my knowledge, that Papito still has not been located. So if you know where Papito is, feel free to ring these.
Probably get a big reward.
One would think. And then in downtown Houston, we saw what was undeniably human feces on the side.
Oh.
It was always going there. Let's be honest.
That's bad.
It's not great. All right. Are you ready to get into Twitter questions? We'll go fast because we are very, very, very long at this point.
We have 2 weeks to make up for. It's fine. We'll have a 2-hour podcast.
Okay. First one comes in from Ben Lipinski. Why can't penguins fly? Okay.
You know, I was watching Planet Earth, the documentary.
Love it.
Oh, I was just watched episode 5 or whatever about the emperor penguins and how they huddle in this big mass. And I was blown away. Penguins are amazing. Why can't they fly? Because they don't. Because they don't need to. But there is in the Arctic a bird, like it's like kind of a puffin, kind of a kestrel looking thing. I don't know what the heck it is, but those fly, and they do a job similar to the penguins in the South Pole.
Do you think they like talk trash to the penguins? Like, oh, look what I can do.
North side, south side.
How's the ground?
Hip gang signs. They drop the S with their wings.
definitely.
Big rivalry. They're rap games, you know, they're dropping beefs with the other birds.
I would love to see that. I mean, I think we all know that. Blow your mind one more time. There is actually a Planet Earth 2 series.
Ooh, I got to finish Planet Earth 1. Yeah. I just got done with Arctic. We'll see what's where it goes next.
Next one comes in from Adam Langworthy. What did you guys do to make the at Voice of the Turtle podcast guy surrender? Which I feel like is one that's definitely meant for you.
Hey, it's just tolerance for making podcasts. That's all it is. We've weathered the storm.
Hookslide actually answered that. He said that we killed the tigers. So
now they are choosing a good time to bail off a sinking ship.
I've thought more than once about how difficult podcasting next season is going to be.
We can talk about the Monty Hall problem some more. We'll be fine. Talk about math and paradoxes.
Definitely. Jeremy Troy asks us, how do you think Al Avila is going to do with Rebuild 2 Electric Boogaloo?
Fine. I don't know. He hasn't done anything to warrant my cynicism. Yeah, too much.
The tape that he's putting down so far has been okay. Has been good.
I would say so. We'll see once what kind of results we get, but
our buddy Jake Skronik asks us, if Tigers players had to have another occupation / career, what would the job be? I came up with a few players that maybe I'll throw out and you give me what else they could do. Let's start with Iglesias.
Fashion model?
Definitely.
Designer?
That was kind of where I was at. Castellanos.
He could be a lung surgeon like his dad. A lung doctor.
You would let Nick operate on you?
It's funny that he comes from his dad must be really smart and educated and a doctor. I don't get those same kind of vibes from Nick. He's got more of a bro vibe.
Definitely. Definitely more of a bro vibe. Kinsler.
Anger management therapist.
I was going to say, is there a job that's just like yelling at people? I feel like he'd really excel in that.
I give Kinsler such a hard time. He's a tremendous guy. He's probably only 90% of as hot-headed as I think he is. No, the answer there is he would sell bats because that's currently
that's
what he's
actually
doing.
What he does. Yeah. Last one, Al Albuquerque.
Just put his picture on Instagram. I don't know. I know the answer to this question. Al Albuquerque would be a gigolo. A gigolo. He's got all the markers. You know, I feel like he's got that certain look about him. Like ladies would be like,
yeah. Are we 100% sure he actually isn't?
I'd pay for some of his company.
Yikes. All right, moving on. At Sean Fagan asks us, who's on your Tigers early offseason wish list? Players you're most excited to move to the majors and fairies, favorite scary movie. Reading is difficult.
We'd be interested in anybody who's willing to come and play for the minimum.
I think
those would be targets. Flyers who are willing to play cheap, a corner outfielder who doesn't mind being a placeholder, and pitching.
Yeah. I would like Seth Smith. Feels like a name that we would like. And honestly, hopefully a slightly less crappy version of Brad Penny or Pelfrey. I mean, we're going to sign a few of those and just hope something sticks in spring training.
Reclamation projects or flyers or, you know, whatever. Guys from Asia who are sick of being over there.
This doesn't light everyone's earbuds on fire, but I wouldn't hate them not picking up Anibal's option, but bringing him back on the cheap.
I thought of that too, honestly. If he can tolerate us, you'd get rid of it. Yeah, I don't know. It's an option.
Andrew Norton asks us, what horror movie would best represent the 2018 Tigers?
This is a good question for you. I refuse to watch horror movies. The whole It thing creeps me out. I can't stand clowns. I refuse to go in haunted houses. I have no authority to talk on this. I don't want any of your scary movies.
I actually feel the exact same way. I can't think of a movie that I've seen that would qualify as scary. So I have No insight, Andrew. So sorry.
I've watched Sixth Sense. Is that a horror movie?
I haven't seen it. Probably came out.
It's about as scary as I go.
Brando Reedy asks us, it took Pudge to help us build the team before. Do we have any established guys that the other players around the league really want to play with? I mean, got Miggy. Miggy is it. I think it is going to take somebody kind of like a Pudge coming in free agency, somebody who's maybe a little down on their luck. I mean, Pudge was good, but he was coming off a little bit of a rough stretch in his career. He kind of refound himself along with the team. I think we're a little ways before we need to start thinking like that, though. We need to put some infrastructure in place, if you will.
We need to get through next year and lick our wounds and draft somebody, and then let's see what we have for 2019.
Exactly. Last one, Ashley, at my hip username, crunchy peanut butter or smooth?
I like both. I don't see why everybody needs to be so argumentative all the time. You can enjoy different types of things. It's fine.
You can, just not peanut butter, because crunchy peanut butter is disgusting.
It's good. If given the two on a shelf, I would choose the smooth and always Jif.
That's what the choosy mothers choose, so that does make sense.
I'm a choosy mother. Never mind.
If you would like to get in touch with the show, you can. On Twitter, I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at ComericEric, and the show is at Podcastianos. On Instagram, I am at Jordinho4. Facebook.com/podcastianos. And once again, we'd love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on. So this is pretty much the season wrap-up show. Like I said, we'll probably come back with another show after a new manager has been named. But it's been a good season. We really appreciate the listeners that have stuck with us to the end. To be honest, it's been a very difficult season to keep tuning in and keep taking notes and all that stuff. But we're glad that you guys still enjoy it. We still like talking to each other. I mean, I feel like that has a shelf life, but for now we still do. and we like when you guys tweet us and tell us that you're listening and stuff. The whole thing is a lot of fun, and hopefully it will continue to be fun for a while.
Yes, well said.
You have anything else to add?
No.
All right. With that being said, we will catch you guys in the near future, and eat 'em up, Tigers. Eat 'em up.
Goodbye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.